Welcome everybody back to the Preacher Parker Show. Glad to be back. Got some great guests here tonight. We're about to talk about a lot of things. Hopefully, we uplift a lot of people. We set a positive vibe. And definitely, we try to influence people to do better in life. Especially black men, because we are black men. So if this message relates to you, please don't forget to like, subscribe, comment, share. You know what you need to do. I'm glad you've been watching the Preacher Parker Show for so long. So I'm going to introduce you to my friends over here that's about to introduce themselves, basically.
What's up? What's up? My name is Jamar Baker, and I'm here on the Preacher Parker Show. Glad to be here, man.
Hey, what's up? What's up? What's going on? My name is Keegan, Chef Keegan, and I'm here.
You're here?
I'm here.
Chef in the building.
Okay, I'm here. Okay, Chef. Let's talk about it right now, man. Placing mindset, you know, and understand the mindset that we are right now. And I feel I see a lot of people growing. You know, we just talk about COVID, but outside of COVID, I see a lot of people doing great things. And definitely my urban people, my people of color. You know what I mean? I'm not against the white people. You know, keep grinding, keep doing you. But I'm just saying, for people of color, sometimes we don't get a lot of recognition outside of sports and entertainment. So when I see my young black men out there reaching out there, following their dreams and becoming those doctors and lawyers and maintaining a better mindset and reaching out to people and being those coaches, that's important. And we need more of that. But at the same time, we have brothers that's just, you know, that ain't even trying, bro. It's like, ain't no aim for it. There's no, like, I can do this kind of thing. It's almost like I'm not allowed to have that, master. That's the mindset I feel they still on, you know what I mean? And that bothers me, bro, because when I look at people and they say, oh, how you made it there, preacher? How you made it there, Jamal? How you got there? I worked.
Hard work.
I prayed. Yeah. I prayed, that's all I could do.
They got that doubtful mindset at the same time, you
right,
know?
Right.
And it's just like their environment and people telling them they can't do this and that. And sometimes it just, you can call it start from school too. So it's just that mindset just keep sticking with them.
Yep.
All the time. So it just stuck on them. So, you know, they never try to grow out of it or expand.
Yeah.
Full
potential, basically.
Yeah.
That's true. Because like you said, it starts from like school, basically. You get what I'm saying? You're hearing, this is what you need to do.
Right.
You need to go to college, right. You know, finish high school, all that good stuff. There's nothing wrong with going to college. You get what I'm saying? But my thing is, like, for example, if you want to become a nurse, doctor, whatever, then, hey, you need to go to school. Because that's something, like, you need to learn. You get what I'm saying?
Damn. Right.
But, like, it's like there's a lot of different things in your environment. You need to change your environment. You know, if you're in the wrong environment, your mindset's going to be corrupted.
The environment thing is the most important thing. You ain't
lying.
Yeah.
It's all in your surroundings. Not say you can't switch up with your friends.
Exactly.
But, I mean, it's just your environment. Because if you from... You know, say you're in a middle class environment and your friends are in a lower class environment. So, you know, for you to go to become a doctor and all that, and you want to get to a certain point, you know, these people over here on this side, you know, they know about being a doctor.
Right.
But then your friends, they don't know nothing about that, and you stick around that. So if you stick around in that group, you just going to know nothing.
And the product of that environment.
Yep.
So that's what you're becoming.
Sometimes you gotta step out of your ring a little bit.
Stepping out the arena, huh?
Like, I mean, if all you're doing is speaking Spanish, you're speaking Spanish, and we're hanging out every day, eventually, I'm gonna catch on. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So
you basically saying change your circle. Change your environment is important too, because if you go in your neighborhood, bro, and all you see is slums, all you see is ghetto, all you see is broken glass, all you see is police brutality, all you see is fighting between your neighbors and all the drugs out there, you don't see a hope. And if somebody tells you your hope is, like, at least where I come from in New York, it was playing basketball or selling drugs.
I mean,
you feel what I'm saying? That's how you made it out.
I mean, some people do see the hope in it, you know, because, like, from a broken community, you know, a lot of people came up from a broken community.
Right.
You know, even singers and all that, most of them came from broken communities, but it's just the mindset. They don't want to live in that era no more, like, you know, being broke, going to bed hungry and all that. So it's just, sometimes you gotta be in a certain spot for you to uplift yourself at the same time.
You know what? I don't disagree with that. Because I can see where people are so out there and they say, you know, I can't make it. I ain't got no hope. They start selling drugs. Okay, this one thing to sell drugs temporarily. But there's another thing when you're selling marijuana 15 years later, you still selling the same drug. All right, now that's a problem, bro. You wanted to make money to get out of the situation. But now it became your life.
Yeah, that's because it's stuck in the ways. You know, you see that as that's a business for him now. Okay, you know, he don't see out of it like, okay, you're going to take my money and become clean or, you know, and expend myself so I ain't got to sell drugs no more. You know, that becomes a business for him. So that's his 9 to 5.
That's his 9 to 5. And that's a good, but that shows he's a hustler.
Yeah, he's a hustler, but at the same time, you're looking at if he's selling drugs, you know, how many people he hurting at the same time?
Exactly.
You know, so wow. It's just, gotta look at it that way.
He is hurting a lot of people. But, damn, it's hard, because I can't get mad at you temporarily, like I said, a year or two. But at the same time, I'm not saying you should sell drugs. I'm just saying I can see why the reason was. You know what I mean? You got a baby mama on the way, or your mom's in there doing drugs, and your little brother's out there starving on the floor. You got to do something fast. You couldn't get a job, so you sold drugs to survive. That's one thing. You know what I'm saying? And like I said, it bothers me in that sense, but there's also the people that do have an education. They do have a good background, and they still reject that. And find another way to avoid that. Any course instead of pursuing that schooling that you went for, you went back to that lifestyle of being broke and lonely and chilling and depending on other people, and you left yourself back purposely. And then you get mad at a system that doesn't provide for you. That's my problem. We got to the point where we were dependent on a handout. Yeah. You know what I'm talking about, dependent on a handout. Like, oh yeah, I couldn't find a job for a year. 4 years later, I couldn't find a job. 4 years later, but you're not disabled, you're not handicapped, you collect the government funds, we getting taxed, we paying for that.
But see, that's when certain stuff drop in, because like, you say you getting government fund at the same time too. Like, if he wasn't getting the government fund, he would've get up and look a job, you know?
So basically,
like the handouts.
You know, getting comfortable with the situation, basically.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
You just like, you know, you sit in the rocking chair and you feel so comfortable, you don't want to get up. You know, you just going to keep rocking. You know, that's our system, man.
Rocking old and sick. They get mad. The government, they give you a phone. And they pay your bills.
It's crazy, man.
It's only so long, just so I can pay and help me out, bro.
Another thing, right? I don't know if this is off topic or what, thing is, like, you know, growing up, our parents teaches us, like, after high school, once you turn 18 or even 17, get a job, right?
Right.
Go to college. You get what I'm saying? You leave college and you can't find a job. Then you're stuck with this $80,000 student loan that you'll never be able to pay back.
And
you get what I'm saying?
I look at the college system like it's
a setup.
It's broken for real.
Yeah,
like,
it is. So you're never going to be able to change your circumstances. You get what I'm saying?
Based on
those certain things. And it becomes like a family tradition. You know what I'm saying? Yep. Especially in the black home.
You're right.
In the black home.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? They don't teach us, hey, you need to learn a trade and be the best at what you're doing in that trade and go pursue, start a business or whatever. You know, all they want you to do is go to college and find a job.
So basically, what we was just talking about, it. Let's not talk about the 9-to-5 life. Now look, let's be honest, y'all. I'm speaking about you. America knows. They know now. I'm working 9-to-5 since I touched the 16. Some people got younger than that, you know what I mean? So respect to you, your hard work at a young age. But the point is, I started at 16. To me, I was the man. I got a job. I can help my mom in the house. I give me a car when I get my money up.
A cell phone.
Yo, when I had 40 hours, when I had 40 hours at 17, I was like, yo, who got 40 hours at 17 and going to school? That's bragging rights to me. You know what I mean? All your people in the class, oh, Jamal, you got a job. Yo, that's right.
Oh, yeah. Good
to have feels good. Yeah. Exactly.
You know what I mean? And then I work another job. I get to work in that KFC. And my wife knows 11 years later, bro. 11 years. 11 years I get KFC. 9-to-5, 40 hours a week dedicated, sometimes overtime all the time. Trying to rake up in the business. Then they fired me, you know. I ain't gonna say why. I just said I wasn't in the fight.
Yeah.
All right?
Yeah.
It's cool, whatever. I'm like, damn, I was hurt. Would hold about my wife, tears in my eye. You know what I mean?
Oh, man.
I'm like, yo, I ain't got no job. You don't talk, you know what I mean? You know, you lose a job, you start crying. Why?
Yeah.
Because you're like, damn, what am I gonna do now? I gotta find something.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Back against the wall.
Reality kicks in.
That's that hurt, right? So then I do 11 years of that, you know, and I start to realize something later on. I get another job, you know, keep working jobs. And I said, damn, I told my wife, I said, I've been working 11 years at one job.
Mm-hmm.
Don't have a car to show for it.
Dedication, huh?
Don't have a house to show for it. I don't own a KFC.
Hmm.
What if I ain't got no money to put stock in right now?
Hmm.
At that point, I continue to stay working 9 to 5, not saying I changed.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I feel like I was a woke movement. Bro, why are you still working a job? You feel what I'm saying? It's like if you have a gift and you know you got a gift,
use it.
Use that gift, man. Biblical tell you, outside the Bible, it tells you, use what your gift is, you'll never go broke. I promise you, man. And what bothered me the most is I worked at 9 to 5, and I still now partially work 9 to 5, but I'm aiming for something more. And I'm hoping people are doing the same thing. But I can't accept it no more, bro. There's a part of me that says, man, I gotta listen to a boss when I can be a boss now.
Mm-hmm.
This is my thing before I let y'all say anything. If I can outthink the person that's in charge of me, why am I here? Why am I listening to somebody else that I have a better plan than them? I should be in that position. That's what bothers me for the 9 to 5. If you don't feel that you're better than somebody in your company that's at a high ranking, maybe you need to stay at that 9 to 5. That's just how I feel.
But do you want to be in that? Do you want to be in that position though?
Yeah, I don't want to be in that position, but I want to be that boss. I want to be that leader. I want to be that guy that runs my own company.
Yeah.
There's no wrong in that. A lot of people are intimidated by that factor. To be a leader, bro. That's an important thing. Because everybody looking up to you. But I want people to look up to me. I just want people to understand where I'm coming from.
Yeah, I mean, like, working a 9 to 5, like, seeing how, you know, I work a 9 to 5, so I know how it feels, you know, to be told what to do, you know, what not to do. You know, and be pushed around. You know, sometimes you feel like, yo, man, I just want to quit this. You know, but at the same time, you look at it. You know, what you gonna do? You gonna start back over again, looking another 9 to 5. Something gonna pay you more, or you know, cause you don't want to be paid less.
Right.
So at the same time, you just gotta suck it up and you know try to find what you good at. You know, I mean, if for instance, if you good at, you know, playing football,
right,
you know, you gotta beat on your craft, you know, every day and try to make it somewhere, you know, so you can eventually say you make it to the NFL or you know, a pro team, you know, to make that money for you to say, okay, I can quit that 9 to 5, I ain't gotta worry about that no more, you know, they can have that. You know, so you just gotta step out there and, you know, find what you're good at and pursue that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because it's sitting on a 9 to 5 and okay, man, I wish if something gonna change for me. I wish I fall, you know, I get $1 million by a morning, or you know, it's not gonna happen unless you win a lottery or a scratch off. That's the only way I can think of, you know.
Damn.
I mean, there's other ways, but I'm not gonna put that out there, you know.
I'm gonna leave that later. We'll talk about that later. I'll talk about that later. Keep going.
Man, like leaving your 9 to 5. For your dream job or a career,
right.
Business owner, whatever it is. First, I would say to have a plan.
Hey.
You know what I'm saying? Because, for example, like let's say you're at your job 9 to 5, you're not happy or anything like that. If you do leave your job without having a plan, you're basically gonna start back from square one, like you said. You know what I'm saying? You're gonna start with another company, and you're not gonna be happy.
Yep.
You get what I'm saying? So, always have a plan first, and like you need a 9 to 5 in order to get to your plan.
Yeah.
Because you need that money to finance your company that you're about to start. You get what I'm saying? And unless you have some type of loan, which wouldn't make any sense because you're going to need a job for the loan in order to pay it back. You get what I'm saying?
Pay that, how many percent they're going to charge you on
exactly. You know? So you definitely need a 9 to 5 in order to get to that point. But for me personally, I hate a 9 to 5.
Hey.
I hate it. I've been working since I was 14.
Right.
You get what I'm saying? 14, 15.
See what I said?
You get what I'm saying? Like, I started working at Publix in high school. You know what I'm saying? And like, I've been jumping from different jobs, you know, thinking, oh, I'm gonna feel a little bit better. You know, maybe a dollar more. But it's always the same thing, bro. Always the same thing. And like, I work with different spots, you know, being the managers, all that stuff. But I still feel the same. You know, there's this empty space, bro. Like,
yeah, it's just an empty space because, like, if you look at it too, like, okay, your managers and your general manager,
right?
They get paid more, you know, but you as an associate, you get paid less. You know, when they throw out a bonus, you probably get a little smaller bonus, and they get a larger bonus. So, like, yo, and some of them don't even do nothing.
Don't even do nothing.
You know, and you there, you know, working so hard overtime, they working on your days off, you know, trying to make it,
bro. Making them
but
rich.
It's just
crazy.
It's just all there's a saying that this guy always follow on YouTube. Like, you know, he always say, you know, work less, but do more.
What's his name? Dan Locke? Asian guy?
He's Grant Cardone.
Real estate guru. Yeah, he's good.
You work smarter.
Let your money work for you, man.
But let that money work for you at the same time. But what you gonna do, you know, if it's gotta be something that money gotta be working for though.
Yep.
You know. It gotta bring back something for you. But as a small guy, you know, you gotta be thinking big, but smart at the same time, because you know, if you make a jump for something and it doesn't work out, you will be right back at square one.
But see, that's the problem right there. See, it's the square one. I know y'all said, but it's also that taking that risk. Like,
but you're still taking that
because
risk.
Because the richest people on this earth are the biggest failures. That's what people don't understand. You gotta be willing to fail more than anybody else.
But a lot of people don't want to be
that. That's the concept. That's why.
People don't want
to
fail.
Are you willing to fail that much to be rich?
They don't want to fail that much.
To be wealthy?
Bro.
To never work again?
Like, I know a lot of people with, like, so much talent, but they would never, ever take that leap.
They won't take that leap. Why?
Bro, I told you about that book.
What's the risk of the leap?
The leap of faith, right?
Leap of faith. What's the problem with that?
Like, you gotta believe in yourself, first of all. You know what I'm saying? In order to take that leap. Like, me, I've taken, like, a lot of chances, different things, like crazy stuff that don't even make no sense.
I know what you're talking about.
Like, why not do it? Invest in myself, believe in myself, you get what I'm saying? So,
invest in yourself is important.
You have to take that leap in order.
One rule they say, when you have money, invest in yourself.
Invest in yourself.
What is education?
It's just like having a baby, you know. You gonna take care of that baby, so you're investing your money in that baby, you know, and gonna grow up, and you know.
But that might be a bigger problem, because people invest in their babies so much that they don't even do nothing; they just invest in their children.
But still, you know, kids. But you feed that child, you know, that nurture that child, you know, that make sure you know he or she get what they want in life, so they don't have a bad life like you know yours. You try to make it better for them, so it's just like that same concept, but you investing in yourself at the same time. You know what to do, you know, and taking a risk at the same time, but taking it as a secure point of view, because like you don't want to be, you know, just okay, throw it out there and fail.
Yeah, you're right.
You know,
you're right about that.
You just testing the waters first and see what works, or if you can get advice from somebody who had done it and done it better than you, you know, you try to learn from that person, and
you gotta grind hard, you gotta grind fast, because somebody told me one time. They said, you know, work fast. Fast is fun, and slow is painful.
Yeah.
You feel what I'm saying? So, everything you pursue, if you really want to get on it, I told somebody, I think I told you this before one time. All jokes aside, people, you could be rich in less than 6 months.
Yeah.
All jokes aside.
Overnight.
If you technically put as much work as you truly wanted to, dedication, time, you didn't get involved, nothing else. When you focus so much on that grind in 6 months, you could technically change your life in a 360. You know, it's crazy that it can happen. Then you got people that always tell you that I don't have enough time in a day. There are people that work two jobs or sometimes three jobs, and they really don't have a time. But there's a problem there. You're working three jobs, you should be looking for a job that can replace two of those jobs. Then you're working two jobs. Then you knock that out until you can find a better career or job.
You have no time.
One job, because you're killing yourself.
Yeah.
You gotta have time for yourself at the end of the day, whether you like it or not. Then there's people that work one job and they're like, man, I don't have time to work on myself. One man's like named Miles Monroe, people know who I'm talking about. He clearly said, work your 9-to-5, and then when you get off of your job, do your work. When you talk about your work, was your gift, your career, your passion.
Hey, you pursue your
gift. Yeah.
That's what you're supposed to be aiming for right after that. Because that your job ain't over. That was just to get money, like y'all said from the beginning. But now it's get your dreams going. Because now you're going to work so hard that your dreams is going to outdo your work, your 9-to-5, and you can live your life happily. Or most people always say, bust your ass for 1 to 2 years of your life so you can enjoy your life for the rest of your life.
Yeah.
People get to do that, man. And then you got the 9-to-5. Last part, I want to say 9-to-5.
The 9-to-5 is just
24 hours in a day, bro.
9-to-5 just it's set up for the bigger man, because like it's just like the game of Monopoly, you know.
Yeah.
You're the big man on the board. You control all the blocks.
Right.
So if you become, you know, the big man, you know, so you will have your company, you're gonna have workers working for you at the same time. So, you know, it's just the whole script flip. You know, you left from associate to a big company owner, mm-hmm. you know.
Damn.
It's crazy.
So it's just a whole flip. But it's just from you to leap from one point to transition to the other point, you know.
And you know you're going to be better than the boss you had before if you did it the right way.
Yeah.
You
know what I mean? But take Jeff Bezos, for instance. Mm. Look at all these companies that was there before him, you know. And he came and just surpassed all of them.
Oh, and it took a while. It wasn't overnight.
Nah, it took him a while, once it take off, everything just went on autopilot, right? Bro.
That's real.
I mean, it's best to have your own business.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? If you have a passion, you might as well go that route. Because like you're spending more time on the 9-to-5. Less time with your family.
A whole lot of
friends. Because for example, and you're not even making the money that you need to make.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? They pay you like shit. They pay you like $10 an hour, $9 an hour, most places. You know, especially here in Florida.
Exactly.
And let's say, for example, your mortgage or rent is around $1,000 per month for a 2-bedroom.
Yep.
There's no way you're gonna be able to pay your car note, insurance, phone bill, gas, food, and your rent. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
And save some money. So how are you supposed to save, right? They say you're supposed to save, like, I guess, for
your check.
For your retirement.
Exactly.
How is that even possible? You'll never be able to retire, bro.
But if you even look at a retirement system right now, it's
going in the trash.
It's trash.
Yeah, exactly.
I wouldn't even tell anybody to depend on a retirement system because it's broken. You know?
It's the 40-40-40.
Because I've seen a lot of people that, you know, at my job that I work, and they old enough.
I was just
going to retire. I was just going to say,
bro, doesn't like, that hurt?
Bro, that's crazy.
And I remember like a couple years back.
Bro, that's crazy, bro.
Like, this older guy, you know, he died in a parking lot. You know, he just clocked out from the job and just walked into his car and have a heart attack and died right there.
I look at him
like, yo, don't want that to be me, because end of the day, it's like, look at him. He could have... I don't even think he enjoyed his life that to the fullness how he wanted to, you know, because he couldn't even retire.
And you know what happened? And they probably replaced him right away.
Yeah, they replaced him.
That's an hour.
I mean, if if he even had retired, he still would not live off that income that he had, because
no.
So why you know about the 40-40-40 rule.
That's what I'm saying.
You work 40 hours a week for 40 years. So you can retire with 40% of your money. 40% of your money, not even 60-70%. 40% they get. They already been taxing me all my damn life. Now you got the nerve to only give me 40%. Then they're telling me Social Security won't even exist
20 years from now.
So now I'm busting my ass. I'm watching them take Social Security money out of my check, every check for Social Security. I'm like, I'm not even gonna get that money.
But hold up. How are you supposed to live off 40%, right? If like 100% can't even help out.
Exactly.
And it's not even 100% because they're taking taxes out.
But you know, like, you look at it right now, the inflation, the money is just going up. Everything is going up. You know, it's just hard to keep up, because you go to the store and you try to buy a can of beans or whatever, you know, it'd probably be like, what, $5, $10 for it. Mm-hmm. It all depends on what brand.
Man, you got to be able to grind hard and create your own currency. I think that's possible. It is possible.
Oh, yeah.
Get on new ground, man. We got to try a new way, because I'm talking
Bitcoin.
About it ain't working no more. And you know, you got that old school mentality from your parents, you know, and you grew up with them and they always had that mentality, work hard, work hard, work hard. Then you see them old, and they're looking at you independent on you to take care of them. Why? Because they should be able to take care of themselves with all the money they have saved up, living the life they want to, but they can't. Now they gotta hope their children follow a dream, get rich to take care of them.
And that's if they even have money saved up.
Exactly, that's the
like,
thing.
If you look in a black community, like, oh, you know, it's always a child taking care of either a mother or a dad at the same time, bro, or probably the whole family, you know, and it's not by choice, you know, it's just end up that, you know, probably mom got sick, you know, or dad got, you know, in an accident, can't work no more.
Generational curse, man. You know, that's what it is.
So it's
you know what I'm saying?
We got to break the curse.
And
break the curse.
When I say that, I don't mean like any type of voodoo or anything like that, but like I said earlier, you know, growing up, they only teach you one thing.
Just get a job.
Get a job. Not even go to college. Get a job. Before you even leave high school, they tell you to get a job in the black community. You get what I'm saying? Next thing you know, 5 years pass, 10 years pass.
You're still working that job.
You're still working that job. And it becomes a repetition. You get what I'm saying? Like,
so, why not just get it? Oh, now we're talking about it. Let's talk about
and I think more say, like say, for, say, for us, you know, black folks, you know, or people of color that I will put in.
Let's talk about the typical urban.
I would say we need to help each other more in business wise, you know, because it's a lot of fight between us, you know, as a race, because when you look in our surrounding, you see this one tearing this one down, you know, and the other one tearing this one. You're not uplifting, you know, the right person at the same time. If even if that person did something wrong, you could like, you know, that person, you know, another person could like, hey man, this is the wrong way you're going, you know, you're going the wrong way, so you know, you need to get back on the path and straighten yourself up, because you know, it's going to lead you down a wrongful path, you know. But when you look at it, they just tear each other down.
And sometimes that's all they know. You know what I'm saying?
That's all they know, because that's what they're brought up around.
Exactly. That's all they know, their environment. You know, they just need to. And I understand sometimes it's hard, you know, to get out that environment, because if that's all you have, that's all you know, nowhere else to go. I mean, what else are you going to do? You know what I'm saying? But sometimes you just have to take a chance and do whatever you need to do to get to a certain point.
Yeah, not saying you're gonna be perfect.
Exactly. No man. You get what I'm saying? Exactly. Yeah. You know, so that's pretty much it. It's crazy.
That's all I want to talk about, typical black man, because this is my fault. All right, let's look at from 2019 to 2020. Let's really look at what's going on. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of racial issues that happen, you know, with the Floyd dude that passed away, rest his soul, or a lot of other black men that died years before that. But there's been a lot of situations where we see cops killing black men. But at the same time, when this black-on-black crime, that's still high. I'm not saying that what's going on with the other side is right. Mm-hmm. But I'm just talking about black people right now, bro. We already broken from what the situation we got going on with the police brutality. We got our own government against us. We got hospitals against us. This is actually proof in what I'm saying. You got black people killing each other, black people, for no damn reason. Chicago's, that's one side of the story. It's over there in Jacksonville, it's going in Baltimore, it's going all over the place.
It's everywhere.
And black people, then we got a Black Lives Matter movement that grows around. And this is my problem. Okay, this is what I'm going to get to. Let's say I'm a black man and I see a cop kill a black man on TV, pissed off. F the cops. F the white man. I'm angry. I go out there, I'm retired, I get pissed off in the street, I get mad. I might loot and do whatever. 10 weeks later, a black man crossed me, and I killed that black man. Now, I'm not saying it's going different ways, but people are out there fighting right now. That's on our side. There are people of different cultures from around the world. Black lives matter. Blacks stop being killed for no reason. And then I turn around and see my own people killing each other. How do you expect support from anybody if you can't stop killing each other? The world only changes within us, within your own community first. So if you're not willing to change within each other's community, you can't expect no other culture to respect you as a culture. Because the first thing they're thinking about is, why should I kill about that black man when that other black man just killed black people for fun? Sell drugs in our own community, prostitute our own females. Other cultures do the same thing, but right now I'm just talking about the black culture.
Yeah,
that's true, man. That's run deep, man. It's just, and it's not just coming. It's coming from a generation too, you know. So it's just passed on, and I don't know if this gonna change, but it just need a change. You're like, if this could change overnight, it would be a wonderful thing, you know, just to see, you know, we on a path that we support each other instead of tearing each other down, you know. But it's a lot need to be changed. It's a lot. And I mean, if we could just take it one step at a time and just, you know, do it, you know, you see somebody out there, you know, need help, you know, you help that person, you know. Or if you got beef with somebody, you ain't even gotta pull a pistol or, yeah, you know, go fight or nothing. You know, you let that person be on the other side of the road, you on the other side of the road, and you just keep it moving, man. It's just,
you ain't
gotta go that, because life is precious.
You
know,
yeah, it is.
Everybody wants it, they come to the point that everybody wants their life, you know, but when somebody gonna take your life, you actually begging, you know, but you quit to take somebody else's life, yeah, at the same point, you know. Man, and it's just, they don't really look at it like that, you know.
I mean, you know, like right now I wish everything could change, you get what I'm saying, like, but to be honest, I don't see this getting any better anytime soon.
Wow.
You get what I'm saying? It's gonna get worse. You get what I'm saying? But hopefully, I'll wake up tomorrow morning and everything changes, you know. But that would be a fairy tale. You know what I'm saying?
It's wild to me, because you said it clearly right there. You know, it's generational. Now, let's go back. Let's go way back for a second. Let's just imagine being on a slave ship. Imagine living into a country that you may not know. Now, some of us did know, because we are going, that's not a history lesson today. Right now, we're just talking about the story that we know.
Yeah, yeah. Okay?
They bring you to this country. You come in. They change your name. They change your religion. They alter the Bible to teach you that it's okay to be a slave. They degrade your women and, you know, change the whole female generation to sleep with them and rape them. They take black men as a family, like uncles, and they force them to sleep with their nieces, raping them, so it becomes a raping style. You take young boys, you take them to the other side, you start turning them into gay men by making them do homosexual activities. Then you take black men to fight black men and watch them fight each other to the death. Now imagine you do that for 100 years, 200 years, 300 years, almost 400 years complete. What happens when you are a free black man?
What did I change?
I just kept that. Now
it's
I'm
going
to tell my children that.
Yep.
And now all of a sudden, all of us are doing the same thing. And it's just normal. Yeah, that's just, you know, that's what's happening. That's not how it is. We were manipulated into a position where now it's okay to be violent, to be hatred, to hurt each other. We don't even like each other's race or skin tone. Bro, that's a problem.
That's crazy.
Yeah, for real.
And if we can't find how to resolve that issue and reverse the mindsets that was placed on us, then like you said, you know, it's been a long ass time, bro. Because we're so busy stuck in the old slave master mentality,
yep,
that we forgot who we truly are. And until we find ourselves, we don't always be the same typical black man that people say we are. Because you, as a black man right now, I know none of you guys. I know you personally. Ain't none of you guys out there looting, robbing, shooting at people. But if you go to the raw neighborhoods, that's what they see you as.
Yep.
But exactly. At the same time, when you see my people doing those things, we can't even discredit what they say about us.
It's like one apple spoiled a whole bunch.
Exactly.
You get what I'm saying?
Exactly.
So you can't win.
And I mean, it takes a lot for, you know, changes to be happening, because it's coming from the people, then you just start moving away up, you know, from going to, you know, your community, you know, your schools, then it goes all up in the system. You know, it takes a lot to change.
It does take a lot.
You know, but if things start taking just one step at a time, then you would get there. You know, it's not going... Probably not in my lifetime, you know, but just one step at a time, and then, you know, things you see a little change, a little better,
right?
You know,
right.
And then everything will just start, you know, progressing. But
it will eventually.
until then, there's not much to do, you know, more than we can only play our part at the same point. You know.
Exactly.
And hope somebody else will do the same thing.
Same thing that you're doing. I mean, in order to have some type of change with this whole thing, is like you got to make a change within. So you got to want to make a change. Just you don't like want to be better. You know
like what
I'm
Michael
saying?
Michael said.
Exactly. You know. So
he changed. He changed colors.
I mean, I'm
gonna leave that alone.
That's our topic.
Oh man.
You got to leave the game. He didn't change that. Y'all, they don't like me here, bro. Can't be that good. But you know what? It's crazy because I'm going to go through history, but I'm going to do the present now. Whites take care of whites, in some sense. Hispanics take care of Hispanics.
Yeah.
Asians take care of Asians. But there's a problem when it comes to black folks.
Oh, yeah.
Why is it? Let me go on that side over there. When the Jewish community has a situation, they all run their little businesses. If a man in the Jewish community falls down, he can't help himself up. You know what the community does? They get together and come up with the funds to open a business for that Jewish guy so he can be all right. Black folks, can we do that for each other? Before we get mad at another black person shining? That person got a bigger chain or a better store or making more money? Then, I would say we could change that and we change it with the message. Like you said, change it with our people, with music. Music, when you started hip-hop, you know the history of hip-hop, it starts with the positive message to uplift black people. Black folks, how many people we uplifting now? Huh. Everybody's a whole RB, everybody's a drug lord, everybody got the best money.
Yeah, we're out rap.
What's going on?
Rap really,
you know what's funny?
You don't have a message to help nobody.
I think that's the same thing in like all the other like black countries. Same thing you're saying.
So it's like, just a worldwide black epidemic?
Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
Worldwide.
No, it start. It really starts from like in music still, because like if you look at hip hop, right? You know, it was like know the drugs. You know, help your community. Yep. You know, uplift in a certain way, positive vibe. But now, you know, you come to previous days, it's just like yo, forget this person. You know, kill that person.
Exactly.
Take this drug. You know, so you're telling young kids, you know, take drugs. But back then it was like, no to drugs, say no to drugs
even
and all
that. Because my system, there's actually an organization of white folks that get black people together and tell them the music that you're trying to say, we're not going to produce that one. But if you say this, I'll allow you the message to be on the radio. And a black person's like, yo, $5 million, I'm talking about killing niggas. I could do that any day.
Yeah.
But you don't realize the youth is the ones that follow that message more than the grown person. The grown person, we bumping the song, we just jamming. But we ain't sitting there talking about, I'm gonna go out there and shoot my own people. But a young person, they hear that, they mean that.
Yeah, that's true, man. Kids like,
I don't know, like music really, really, really changed. Cause like, music is, you know, it's that vibe to it. You know, you can go to a party and you just have a good time. But now it's just like you go to a club and you just there.
Oh man!
It's just like it's like you going to a war zone.
That's like one of the reasons, man.
I stopped
going to nightclubs too.
What?
Like when I used to party like years ago.
Years ago.
Like let's say like when I was like 18, right?
Right.
Started partying like around 18.
Right.
You know, 18, 19, 20, all the way up, and it used to be nice. But like after around, I think it was like 2012 or 2013, like you started noticing little changes. Like all the females, they don't want to dance no more. They just want to be on their phone doing selfies.
Damn.
You know, like, and dudes, they just be posting up.
Yo, I hate that boy. Nobody wants to dance. They're on the wall.
You
want to fight. Like, I'm like,
you go in the club, you know, you see like 30 new.
So the vibes is not even the same
chilling,
no more, bro.
Like,
I'm
like,
I ain't coming to the club to fight.
I'm like, I might as well stay home, you know, drink and go to bed.
Like, am I circling your block or something?
Yeah, it's crazy, man. Like,
bro.
I don't know. Something's going on. I just don't know what it is.
In the war. Right, I don't know what
it's
about.
It's a trend following, you know.
Yeah.
It's a trend following. So they just see they do it.
So to get the matches out there, because, you know, we get to that point. What do you think it would take for it to be a change within the next 5 years for black people? and nothing about the
man. That's a strong question, man. It's gonna take a lot, yeah. But for black people to change, they gotta change their own self. They gotta look in themselves and say, hey, man, I wanna change. You know, I wanna change for something better. I wanna do something with my life. You know, way more better for my kids. You know, or whosoever you know surrounding them. You know, they gotta step up and say, hey, man, that's it. You know,
it's a wrap. And wrap it up.
Do what they gotta do best. You know,
pick down the guns.
Yeah, no killing, you know, just positive energy. If they want to become doctors, lawyers, you know, an engineer, you know, whatever career they want to pick. You know, if they want to become a stockbroker, you know, it's possible.
It's possible.
And look,
anything's possible, man.
And you look at this, this is America, man. There's nothing, as a lot of people look at it, it's a land of opportunity because, like, you look at a lot of immigrants want to be here. You know,
yeah,
they want to be here because they know what the opportunity is there. Because in their country, you probably not live a day in their country.
Exactly.
You know, that's true. Sad, man. That's true.
That's
rough.
Somebody could be living off
a
bag of chip for one day. You know, and you know, you over here, you know, eating lavish and all that, but he see the opportunity that he can come in and make a lot more money than you.
Because he sees it, it's a different hustle, different mindset.
But you know, a lot of times, like third world countries or other poorer countries, part of the world, they see all these rap videos and they think that's how life is in America. You know what I'm saying? They think it's all sweet, all candy and gravy, you know, and they try to live that life. You get what I'm saying? And it's not possible. I'm not saying it's not possible, but like that's fake. What you see on the it's not
a lot of driving
exactly.
That's the ones that see it that way.
Yeah, you know.
But
like,
if you really look at it, like a lot of immigrants that are here, they're like I wouldn't even put like 95%, but somewhere around 50 or 60. A lot of them are some top millionaires and stuff.
Yeah.
You know, because they see the opportunity when you know they come here, they came broke, but they see the opportunity and they know what they were going for. Yeah. Bro, at the same time,
I was watching Miles Brown and he was talking about how he went to a different country in Asia and he was doing a meeting with them and they paid him good money just to give him a 2-hour speech.
Yeah.
He gives him the speech. When the speech is over, he asks him a question. He says, "It's funny. It's Asian. I just don't understand how everybody sees Asians in America. Y'all always got money, and then my people." We don't have it. And he said they started laughing. So he thought he was laughing at him, you know, personally. He was like, no, they was like, no, it's just you Americans, y'all look for a 9-to-5. When we come to your country, we look for a business.
No, it's just a hustle, like,
they came for a business. And I'm not being racist, but how many Asians do you see working 9-to-5?
If you notice,
be real.
They help each other.
Yeah, if you notice, like, for example, I'm gonna talk about Jamaica, right? In Jamaica, like, right now, the Chinese, I don't have anything against Chinese or any Asians, but, like, they build up shop like in every corner.
Yeah.
Every city, every small town.
They touch down and make money.
So it's like a family thing.
It's
you
just
know what
as
saying?
You say how the Jewish they do it. You know? Another one come, they turn open this.
Exactly.
This that's how the Chinese they do.
Yep.
And even if they have, you know, a disagreement between each other, you're not gonna know. You never know.
Bro,
you never know unless he tell you that. You ain't gonna know because they keep it between themselves.
Yep.
And
they know your business.
It's just business between them. They don't bother each other.
They know business,
you know, and they do business between each other. Yeah. So that's just a mutual respect between them.
So you're basically spreading the wealth within the
within their community.
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah.
Oh, that's pretty crazy. Now, you know what?
Why can't we do that?
I'm gonna tell you why, Black America, why we can't do it.
Why we can't do it?
We will do it, but why we can't do it right now?
Yeah.
All right, Black, we get together.
ADHD, though.
No, we go back together. Let's go back. Let's go back to Tulsa, Oklahoma. Come on.
All right.
Black, one of the wealthiest communities in America was in Tulsa, Oklahoma. All Black community. Everybody had their own businesses. Everybody supporting each other. Everybody making money. Nobody hungry. What happens? White folks, I'm not against you, but this is your history. You go to that town, you burn the motherfucker down. You injure people, you attack people, you scare them. Now, what happens if I'm a Black man, I see this going down in my community? That means every time I try to build up,
I think
we can't have it because we are afraid that a whole other culture is gonna come and destroy us, so we don't change.
I mean, like, I'm not gonna say
that. You gotta get on fear, bro. Like, you gotta get on fear.
The thing is, you can't let your history, like, basically dictate your future.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Same.
So, like, you just gotta go head first or feet first, whichever way.
So you gotta be fearless.
You gotta dive right in. You get what I'm saying? And just take that chance.
And like for like this time now, I mean, if we have a lot of, you know, young black millionaires right now, you know, around, it's just for everybody to come together and start doing something, you know, and spread that wealth at the same time. Because you have this person right here, he have a knowledge that he can share, but he's not sharing it.
That's the thing.
You know, he's not even sharing a little piece of it at the same time.
That's crazy.
You know, but then you have like, I would say like 20 people right here, hunger for the knowledge. You know, try to learn the same thing that he learned, you know, already learned and mastered already.
You're right.
You know, even though they trying to master it,
yeah,
but they struggling a little bit, you know, and they look into that person. Okay, I need that knowledge. You know, what can I do if I even got to work, you know, for that knowledge.
Right.
You know, just to share a little half or fraction of it, you know, but they're not sharing it.
That's greed, you know.
You know, if you look at even the white community, they teach your daughters, they teach your son, their nephews,
exactly,
even their neighbors.
Yep.
At the same time, you know, so it's just sharing. You know, that's what we need to do.
Start sharing. That's true. That's definitely true.
So now you're asking us,
just like you go, just like you go to
grandma, the wealth and shit,
just like you go to grandma's house. You know, you ask her for a recipe. You know, you trying to learn that recipe. Oh, exactly. She's gonna share it with you.
Exactly.
You know,
you're not asking for the money or the food in the recipe. You know. You're asking for that knowledge. You get what I'm saying?
Knowledge is power.
Yeah. And exactly. Mm. And a lot of people don't want to share that. You know, so.
Stop being selfish, Black America. We're better than this. No, real talk, we're better than this.
We are.
It's just that we just.
Well, yeah,
this is my problem. This is my problem. I'm going to say the last thing. I'm going to let you know. I got to say it. Black America, understand how gifted you are. Understand that so many cultures, so many people around the world, depend on your talent. You may not think about it that way. It may sound kind of
No, it's true.
It's true.
Whether it's sports, whether it's music, whether it's dance, whether it's acting, whatever it is, blacks are inventors of so many things that everybody makes a trend. Everybody else is making money off of your gift, except for you.
That's true.
Yeah. Think about it for a second.
Yeah, that's true.
Black people, we didn't invent basketball, but we changed the game.
Well, we make it look
black
good.
You know?
We make it look good.
Black people, we start doing the dance moves. Who motherfucker make money off our dance moves? Who opens the studios that we can do our dances in? Movies that we can be introduced to. Who owns the movie studios?
But the thing is,
come on now.
Who's stopping us, like black folks, from doing it? Like,
because we believe that we're supposed to give our stuff to the master. We're still at master. Here's my book. Here's my words. Here's my truth. So instead of us keeping it for ourselves and developing it, we give it to the person we think is going to do better with it.
That's the thing. You know, I'll never be faithful to a job again. You know what I'm saying? Because they can fire you anytime. They can lay you off.
You're replaceable.
You get what I'm saying? So it's best.
Right here,
exactly.
As soon as it finishes,
you get another one. You know? go pursue your dreams. You get what I'm saying? And get paid what you're worth.
Talk to America.
You get what I'm saying? Because at the end of the day, like, no one could fire me right now. I fire myself. You know what I'm saying?
Nice.
Like,
nice.
I'm home most of the times, most days, you know.
And I would ask you how you do that, because if you can't even fire yourself. You just take a break.
Exactly.
Or you
basically make your own schedule, man. Like, spend more time with family and friends. Like, do what you love.
Do what you love.
If you're into vacation, take vacations. You know, so it's best to just go with
That's
your dreams.
Feeling, man.
It's a good feeling, trust me.
1 year, I just went on vacation like every other week. I know he was taking pictures of everything.
Yeah.
I was gone.
See? Like,
no questions asked.
It feels good, right? It felt good. So,
felt
you know, like, it's the best thing to do. Just go after your dreams and whatever it is. If it's baseball, tennis,
anything.
You know, anything. Just do it. Do it like Nike.
What do you guys say to Black America, bro? Come on, man. Be real with it, man.
Y'all gotta soak up all the knowledge that America have given, you know, given out, you know. Because there's a lot of things here in America to learn, you know.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of stuff. You know, every day you learn something new, you know. You just, and then you got the computer, you know, right.
If
your phones.
YouTube.
Your phones, you know.
Everything's
it's just something
everything's
just,
there.
just look up something, you know, whatever you have in mind, just look it up and, you know.
It's right there.
It's right there for you. So you just got to do what you got to do and, you know, keep a positive mind. You know, try to pursue something, you know, a goal that's going to put food on your table, you know, not just for one day, but for the rest of your life. Like, you know.
Damn.
Yeah. And, you know, just create a generation of wealth for your family and all that. Because, like, even my mindset, you know, I want to create, you know, a legacy that it started, if I can put up a family tree and say, hey, you know, it started from me.
Yeah.
Then it goes to probably my brothers and my sisters, wow. You know, then from my sisters and the niece, you know.
Great grands and all that.
It started going down, you know. So they can look back at it like, oh, it started from that person.
Yo.
You know.
Yo, that's
and there's a story behind, you know, each person.
Generational so, blessings that you just want to spread out.
You know, you just got to do something that you love. You know, it don't maybe mean that you're going to do sports, you know, music, you know, whatever your talent at. You know, if you're good at creating something, you know, or cooking, you know, just do what you got to do.
Cooking,
I mean, just make sure you're doing something you love, because I could just wake up tomorrow morning and say, hey, I'm going to be a carpenter, but I don't love making stuff, so I'm not gonna be great at it.
Right.
But if I decide that I want to be a chef or whatever, you know, that's my passion, that's my gift, you know, that's my talent. So, like, I didn't go to school for it. I didn't have to go to school for it. You know, like, I learned everything that I needed to know, like, by myself or working at different restaurants and all that good stuff. And after a while, I decided that, you know, I needed a change. I needed more money. You get what I'm saying? And I just went head first and started making more money. You get what I'm saying?
Because there's people out there saying there's no way.
And it's not easy. Don't get me wrong. So,
like I always say, but there's 24 hours in a day. Let's just do an average day. But I'm not going to do this. This is work for everybody. Let's just say you're a single male. 24 hours in a day. By 8 of those hours, you're sleeping. By 8 of those hours, you're working a job. And that average, that leaves you another what? 8 hours that you've been bullcrapping.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you work at two jobs, if you do it right, you might be able to get 2 or 3 hours a day. So it depends on what your situation is, but there's a way to do what you love if you calculated it right.
Yeah.
Schedule yourself the right way so you can actually do your dreams and pursue something or go to that school or whatever
you
pursue.
Oh, yeah, there's always time. You know, just grab a cup of coffee and even if you have to go to bed at 3 in the morning. If that's what you have to do, you know, sacrifices, do it.
Sacrifice.
You know, like, there's a lot of nights when I'm like, damn, you know, like, I need to do something. You get what I'm saying? I just go on the computer, not even a computer, because I have my phone now, so you can do whatever on your cell phone.
Exactly.
So I just be researching stuff, like, randomly, like, out the blue, because I'm not happy with the level I'm at. You get what I'm saying? I want to get to a higher level.
Right.
You get what I'm saying? And that comes back to the complacent mindset.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying? You can't be too comfortable, with being average.
You gotta be uncomfortable.
Exactly.
To get comfortable.
Oh, man.
So, you gotta be willing to get uncomfortable. That's it.
You gotta step out of that comfort
zone. Exactly. Definitely, man. So.
All right, well, America, y'all have any final words or, you know, represent your Instagram, Facebook?
Coming to look at it, with the school system, you know, the school system don't even like teach a lot of us, you know, to, you know,
be an entrepreneur
or a business person. You know, it's just that same work mentality. And then you look at it like most of the stuff you learn in school, when you step out of school,
you don't use it.
Talk about that. Yeah, you know, that's real talk.
So it's just
I went to school for nothing.
That need to be changed.
Basically. Exactly.
You went to school, got $80,000 to $200,000 in debt. Then you worked a job so you could pay off that debt. And then when you finally paid off that debt, you can finally live your life. That's a bullcrap, bro.
I mean, I think like the way they should set up the school system is like after ninth grade, they should let you decide what you want to do, like for your career.
Yeah, whatever career.
Exactly.
You want.
And then start studying and working on that. So after 12th grade, you're ready.
For sure, man.
You're good.
Oh, that's nice.
So whether it's but so like I think that would be one of the good things to do. You know, like
but America's all about the money.
And I think like still it comes to the test. So when like you know a lot of big
you know, entrepreneur or, you know, colored person can, you know, open schools for, you know, yes. the black community.
Yes. Yes.
Also, you know, it don't have to be where any other community.
And it's possible.
Where
it's definitely possible.
You know, it could be in his own community. But, I mean, just create something that can teach them,
so this is the
you know,
thing.
How to...
If you get the wealth, do you invest in your people? Because how many people we know that we don't?
Yeah, you can.
People that are black who have money. I'm not saying all of them, but there are a lot of them. Ain't put no money in none of the community. Okay, not what
that's
you got
true.
Going on
with
your life.
That's true.
So, but I'm not saying they have to give up all their money. But if you flip it into a way to affect your people for the better, it'd be amazing how the changes you'll see.
But a lot of like black folks that are wealthy, I wouldn't even say a lot of them, but some of them, they're not thinking like that. You know, so.
It's just that gimme push.
Exactly.
Push,
you know? Yo.
What's next?
That's
you
it.
Know, soak up all the money they can get, soak up, and then, you know, spend it how they want to spend it.
Exactly. Yeah. There you go.
America. Okay. All right. Well, Black America, any final words? Final words. Your Instagram, Facebook, shout yourself out. Any final words that people are going to say or anything? Anything positive with a fraud, dude?
I'm good.
I mean,
all right.
Instagram, Chef Keegan.
Chef Keegan.
That's
right.
Chef K E G O N. Keegan's Kitchen on YouTube.
Hey.
You know, so for all your recipes and all that good stuff, check me out.
Okay. I like that. You said you're good.
All right. Well. Hey, I ain't a chef over here, so I ain't got a business yet. So it's all good.
Stay
but,
woke.
You know,
rise up.
To all my black folks out there, just, you know, stay woke and, you know, my white people still love y'all.
Yeah, just continue to be great and go pursue your dreams.
Well, there you have it, man. On the Preacher Parker Show, I told you about two great guests. I really hope this affected a lot of young and elderly people of color. And for white people that liked it, I hope you enjoyed it as well. You know, we just try to reach out to everybody. But right now, we just try to touch people who may be a little bit lost in the sauce, but try to find themselves. And on the Preacher Parker Show, that's what we aim for, to grind hard. Real stories, and tell you what it is that we can make it, and we will see a lot of successful people, and we aim to be successful.
Yeah, you just give us our feedbacks on you know, the topics that we speak on.
Share, comment.
Yeah,
like,
definitely.
Subscribe.
Definitely subscribe. Preacher Parker Show.
Preacher Parker Show, man. We are out of here, y'all. God bless.
Peace.